This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right. Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year. Welcome to a very special wild card edition of Football Nation. Bill Enright here with Todd DeVries, and we thank you for tuning in to Patriots.com Radio. 2012 is behind us, and so is the NFL regular season. Kevin, get your Jim Morris sound clips ready, because it's playoff time, baby. Todd, what do you say? Other than college basketball, March Madness.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs?
Love that.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
It is playoff time.
Never gets old.
Playoff time. No, that never gets old. One of the few sound clips that I can hear over and over and over.
That was a disgraceful performance.
No, I don't like that one as much.
Kevin, do you have the diddly poo one? And he says we play like diddly poo.
Diddly poo offensively.
I miss Jim Moore. We need him back.
Well, there's a lot of coaching openings.
Maybe yes. We gave him the friggin' game.
Kevin could do the sound bites for two hours straight, I think.
We wouldn't even need us.
No. Just let him.
I can literally make them have conversations with each other. I could have him and Belichick going at it.
That would be fun.
You're a sick man. This is your life, Kevin. Creating fictitious conversations between head coaches.
You kidding me?
All right, Bill.
Todd, so the NFL playoffs, in my opinion, other than college football, college basketball's March Madness, NFL playoffs to me are the best postseason format. I don't know if you agree with that or
not. Of course. I totally agree. If you go with the NHL and the NBA, too many teams make it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody pays attention. Although the NHL playoffs, I will say this. If you're talking format, I totally agree with you in the NFL. But I will say the NHL playoffs,
when they're
good, they are very, very good. A lot of excitement there. NBA playoffs, I could care less. Too many teams. And baseball, you know, baseball is baseball. I love the fact in the NFL, Bill, it seems to me just the right amount of teams make it to the playoffs, number one.
Right.
Okay, not too many. Please, NFL, don't expand it. You know that Roger Goodell talked about possibly expanding the number of teams that get in. Please don't. I like that the fact that a small amount of teams, in my opinion anyway, 12 teams make it, and then you get teams that have earned a bye week. I love that. I love the bye week. And on this show, Bill, the last couple of weeks, I believe our esteemed producer, Kevin, said it was a 90% chance that the Patriots would not get a first-round bye. And that was because we were focusing on the Broncos having to falter down the stretch against the Browns and the Chiefs, and they did not. However, the Texans did. Who would have thunk it? The Texans tanked it down the stretch. The Patriots earn a bye. It's huge, and I love that fact. I love that about the NFL playoffs.
The thing I like about the playoffs is it's one and done. It's do or die. You know, you either win or you go home, and I like that format. Same thing with the March Madness. You know, with the NBA and the MLB and the hockey, you get all these series and 7-game series, 5-game series. I hate that. I like the sense of urgency. I like the instant satisfaction of knowing, wow, this team is going to play in the next round. That's
totally
what I like about football.
And in the NBA, it's very difficult to pull off an upset because the best team always seems to win. You know, 7-game series.
If you've got
LeBron James, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Baseball, it's kind of fluky because if you have a hot pitcher that just out of nowhere shuts a team down for 2 games, you win the series.
Right.
You know.
Right.
When the NHL playoffs are at their best, they are red hot. I love watching that. But I agree with you. The one and done aspect of the NFL, it's just set up so beautifully leading up to the Super Bowl. Can't wait, baby. It starts this week, and I'm fired up.
Yeah, gotta love the playoffs. And as you mentioned, the Patriots do have a full week of rest, or a full week to rest. They can get healthy, prepare for their next opponent, while their Patriots are enjoying their bye. Some teams that didn't make the playoffs are searching for their new head coaches and GMs. We'll give you an update on all the rumors and coaching changes from the last few days. A lot of chaos has been happening around the NFL. We'll also preview this weekend's wild card games, go over the Super Bowl odds for each team, and we'll hand out some end of the year awards. Plus, we'll reveal the Football Nation power rankings and even get into some strategy and advice for anyone looking to dominate their postseason fantasy football league. Plus, our good friend Carrie Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us a bit later in the show to discuss some quality stats for the playoffs. So, Todd, you know, Patriots are on a bye thanks to a major collapse by the Texans, as you alluded to earlier. And 2 weeks ago, right here on this show, we debated whether or not the Patriots should be resting their starters against the Jaguars and the Dolphins. We didn't really think the Texans would be the one to drop in the standings, But that's, in fact, what happened. Houston, is they've been awful the last two games. They lost to the Vikings at home in Week 17. And then in Week 17, they lost to the Colts. We'll see the Texans in action this weekend against the Bengals on Saturday, which is the first game of the NFL playoffs. Well, what are we predicting here for this Houston Texans-Cincinnati Bengals matchup?
Well, first of all, it's kind of a bland matchup, in my opinion, because does anybody think either of these two teams can make it out of the AFC?
Absolutely not.
Right, and it's a repeat of last year's wildcard game, correct?
Correct, yeah, yeah. T.J. Yates was the starter for the Texans
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, so this game, it's kind of, it's the least entertaining game, in my view, of the weekend for all those reasons. And, you know, we have been correct on a couple of things this year, believe it or not, on the show, Bill. And one of them was we didn't believe in the Texans, and right. We especially their defense. And we've talked about the Texans time and time again, Bill. If they get down, they're in deep trouble, like in a game. If they get down a couple touchdowns, they're done. They're toast. They don't
right.
have the kind of offense that plays well from behind. They're not like the Broncos or the Patriots or the Packers or the Falcons. They can come from behind via a potent passing game. They just don't get it done. So, you know, so that's kind of proven to be true. The Bengals slid into the playoffs, somehow beat Pittsburgh at home or in Pittsburgh, which I think we were all surprised at.
Right.
The Bengals, you know, they just kind of slid in there. They really don't scare me. I just don't see these teams, whoever makes it out of this game, Bill, I just don't see them making it past the next weekend. And again, if the Texans win, they're going to be coming into Foxborough to play the Patriots. I don't see that going very well. We saw that a couple months ago, or a month ago, what happened there. I would expect a repeat performance if that's indeed what happens.
The Cincinnati has won 7 of their last 8 games, Todd. They're on a 3-game winning streak, while the Texans, on the other hand, 2-game losing streak. So clearly the momentum, the power of the Bengals last month of the season, much better than what the Texans have been doing.
That's true. That's true. I don't know. I mean, did the Bengals scare you, Bill?
I think the Bengals have a really good defense, and they do just enough on offense to win games. The Texans, we know, or at least we thought we knew, they had a great defense, but it just hasn't shown up the last couple of games, and that's what scares me. For them to not get any sense of urgency for the last two games when they know they need to win in order to maintain that second seed and get that first round bye, and then for them to come completely short, look flat out terrible in the last week 16 and week 17, you know, against the Vikings and the Colts, games they should have won. They were capable of winning those games, and the fact they looked flat, that scares me about the Texans a little bit.
Bengals, last 3 wins, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the aforementioned win over the Steelers, which was kind of a terrible game, 13-10,
right.
Unless you
yeah.
just love defense. It seemed to me that that was more of a just a sputtering game than a beautiful defensive performance. And then the last game they won, nobody cared. The Ravens didn't play most of their starters. So, you know, there's not much to take out of those 3 wins in my view.
Right.
Anyway, before that, they lost to Dallas on a last-second field goal. Prior to that, they swept the most of the AFC West, Kansas City,
right.
Oakland, San Diego. You know, so you're right. Those are 6 of their 7 wins. The other win way back on November 11th, kind of started this streak, was a gigantic win over the Giants.
Right.
And we've seen how poor the Giants have played. So, I don't know, Bill. I'm having a hard time predicting this game, to be quite honest with you. I really don't like either team at all.
We'll be taking everyone's – if you want to email in webradio@patriots.com or give us a call, 508-298-0398. Let us know your predictions for all the wild card games. We're going to get into each of them, and we're going to do a little bit of an evaluation meter, Todd. We'll do it by kind of like who gets the edge. We'll go by quarterback, rushing, running backs, and if you have a quarterback that likes to run. Playmakers, that could be wide receivers, someone on special teams, maybe a defensive star. The coaching staff, the team's playoff experience, and the home field crowd. So what do you say we kind of kick things off here with this Texans-Bengals matchup? Quarterback, who do you give the edge to?
You know what? I actually might trust Andy Dalton a little bit more.
A little bit more than Matt Schaub. All right.
A little bit.
How about the rushing attack? We got Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis for the Bengals,
no.
Arian Foster for the Texans.
Arian Foster. No doubt about that.
No doubt about that one.
As long as his heart is beating regularly,
yeah,
you know that's a huge edge there. Well, what about the playmaking ability? Well, that's another category we want to break out here. Who has the more dynamic playmakers, Bill?
You know, you think of the wide receivers. You got Andre Johnson for the Texans, A.J. Green for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, I like their defensive stars, though, for the Texans. J.J. Watt, clearly someone that likes to make plays, good at forcing turnovers, swatting down balls, getting a lot of sacks. And that could be a difference maker in this game for me. So I'm going to give the edge for the playmakers to the Texans.
I have to agree there, and it's because of the defense. And, again, we're not high on the defense, but they do know how to create turnovers, and they do have a pretty decent special teams, too, with the return game. Andre Johnson's another playmaker. While I love A.J. Green and Mr. Hawkins, who from time to time can make some huge plays
right.
via some trickeration for the Bengals, I'll give the edge to the Texans in that department.
All right, how about the coaching staff? You have Gary Kubiak, who they won – made their first playoff appearance last year, the Houston Texans as a franchise. Marvin Lewis for the Cincinnati Bengals has some playoff and coaching experience when he was with the Ravens a long time ago as their defensive coordinator, helped bring the Bengals to the playoffs back when Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson were still on the team. So who do you think has the better coaching staff going into this one?
I'm not really enamored with either of them, Bill. I'll call this a toss-up. I mean, I guess it's... maybe a slight edge to Kubiak? I don't know. What do you think?
You know, it's hard for me to go away from the Texans only because I like Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. You know, he's a former NFL head coach. I think that helps play into preparing a team for the playoffs. Whenever you have a head coach as now a coordinator, I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll give a slight edge to the Texans if you include the entire staff.
Last year,
the Texans did crush the Bengals in this very same wild card weekend game, 31-10. So if you want to use that on the resume, I'll go with Kubiak over Mr. Lewis.
All right, now how about playoff experience, Todd? You think of Matt Schaub, a veteran NFL quarterback, but he's never played in a playoff game. Meanwhile, Andy Dalton, a second-year quarterback, he played in one playoff game last year. So which team are you giving the playoff experience to?
Again, this is kind of a toss-up. I guess you go with the Texans because they played the majority of this team has played in more games, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
But it's slight. You know, again, neither of these teams rank high on this meter. If we were ranking these 1 to 10, neither of these teams are getting anything close to a 10.
Right. Yeah. All right, now home field, obviously the game is in Houston. They have a pretty loud crowd. I'm not sure if they're going to have the dome over the field. But it gets pretty wild down there in Houston.
It does, but you know this fan base has got to be pretty disappointed right now.
As I
mentioned earlier in the show, this is a team that had almost looked like they were going to lock up that number one seed a month ago.
Yep.
Remember?
Yeah.
If they had beaten the Patriots on that primetime game, we were like, well, they're going to have the number one seed all locked up. You know?
Yeah.
And now they're playing in a wild card game. You know, this is probably their last home game of the year. A team that's just flailing down the stretch, lost a couple in a row. So, you know, if you're a fan of the Texans, you might be expecting something bad to happen early in that game. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That first quarter is going to be really pivotal in this game more so than any of the others. Because if the Bengals get out, you know, a broken play or A.J. Green on a long bomb or a special teams touchdown, something 7-0, 10-0, look out if you're a Texans fan. So that could play into the crowd. I think the Bengals have a good chance to silence the crowd in that first quarter and keep them quiet for the majority of the game.
All right, so if the Texans win, they would play the Patriots. Last time that happened, it was the Monday night game. We were all looking forward to it. We actually had Monday Night Football play-by-play announcer Mike Tirico on our show, and we all kind of thought that Monday night game would be a preview of the AFC Championship. Instead, it looks more like they'll meet in the divisional round. Now, if the Bengals win, Cincinnati would play Denver, and Patriots would play the winner of the Ravens and Colts. Kevin, as a Patriots fan, is there a team you'd rather play?
What's that?
As a Patriots fan, do you want to play the Texans?
I don't mind.
Considering you already beat them.
I don't mind playing the Texans, no. I think if I had to choose, I'd rather play Indy, but I wouldn't mind playing the Texans.
Okay.
I just think that what they did to Indy was pretty impressive. At the time when they did it, I think a lot of Patriots fans felt the same way as I did in terms of we didn't really know how good Indy was when the Patriots absolutely, you know, whipped them. I think they hung like 59 points on them that week.
Right.
And then as Indy started to pick up steam and win games, that win, you know, became semi-impressive as we went on here. But I'd still rather play them. I like the aspect of playing a rookie quarterback, especially at home. But no, do I fear the Texans? Absolutely not.
All right. So final prediction of the game, Kevin, what do you got? Score?
Texans-Bengals. I'll say Texans 27, Bengals 21.
Okay. Todd, what do you think? I think that's really a high score. I think it's going to be much lower scoring than that.
But I think Houston's going to get a defensive score.
Okay.
23-13, I'll go Houston.
23-13, I like that more. I was thinking more of like a 13-10, 17-14. Yeah, I think it's going to be really low scoring. Both of these defenses are good. And their passing attacks are, you know, you take away A.J. Green for the Bengals, take away Andre Johnson for the Texans, they're really left with their rushing attack. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Really do. But we are taking – what's that?
No, I was just going to say, whoever wins this game is in deep doo-doo, diddly-poo, if you want to call it
that. I think you can say that about either of the AFC wildcard games.
Yeah, that's true. Although you never know. There was actually a pretty interesting article on Football Nation this week, Bill. It went through since 1991, and it broke down all the different seeds, the one seed, two seed, three seed. And it had some pretty interesting examples of teams that looked like crap down the stretch that just magically turned it on at the
right time.
Something
like Houston? Yeah.
You know, and they're saying like maybe the Ravens, perhaps, mm-hmm. might be a team that can pull it together here in the playoffs. I'm not a huge fan of them or the Texans, but – I just think either of these teams, I mean, Cincinnati and Denver, no chance. And Texans in New England, I wouldn't be a fan of that one either if I were the Texans. So I think these guys are playing to just play one more week and be done.
We are taking your predictions at 508-298-0398. Even though the Patriots aren't a bye, you can still make a prediction based on what you think is going to happen this wild card weekend. Cincinnati Bengals and Houston Texans, that game is on Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the second game on Saturday kicks off at 8 o'clock. Minnesota Vikings will travel to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. And now, Todd, these two NFC North teams split their matchups this season. The most recent game was just last week. The Vikings had a last-second game-winning field goal to end the game 37-34. Our America's favorite running back, Adrian Peterson, rushed for 199 yards. Put him over the 2,000-yard mark, only the seventh running back in NFL history to rush for over 2,000 yards. But he did come up just 9 yards short of breaking Eric Dickerson's all-time record.
And they were at that 11-yard line after his big run there with 30 seconds left.
He put that run put them in position to kick that field goal.
Right, and if the game meant nothing, they probably would have tried to have him run in from the 11 and break the record.
I would think so, yeah.
You know? So, hey, good for him. I mean, what a game. Did you get a chance to watch that one, Bill?
I did.
That was just an outstanding, you know, kind of cap to the season in week 17 there. A little disappointed that it's a rematch this week, you know? That's a little bit of a buzzkill.
Right, we just saw them play last week.
Right, at least it's in a new venue.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to wonder if the Vikings kind of gave the Packers their best punch last week.
Right.
You know, at home. Can they do it again? Can Adrian Peterson do it again? And the Packers are getting back Randall Cobb this week, I believe, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And potentially Charles Woodson on defense as well.
Yep.
So, and they're at Lambeau. So, you know, I like this game. I love any game in Lambeau in January. It's always fun to watch.
Of course, yeah.
The Packers, man, they just win that game last week and they get a bye, you know. And as somebody who picked the Packers to get to the Super Bowl from the NFC, I'm a little worried about their road to the Super Bowl now.
That was a big gut punch for you then last week.
Mm-hmm. Was that?
That was a big gut punch for you with them losing that game.
Yeah.
When they tied it at 34, I thought they were going to win. I'll be honest with you. I was really impressed by that last drive Minnesota had going down there and getting that field goal.
I don't know. I was with family, and I kind of thought it was just the Vikings' day. I just thought they were going to pull it off. I think when the Packers scored, I kind of turned to my family members and I was like, I think they scored with too much time on the clock. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like one of those games. It was like early in the third quarter, we were all just talking. We were like, this is going to be a classic. This is just one of those games. And Peterson, like you were saying, in the second quarter, he's no chance for the record. You know, we're like, he's going to have to rip off a 50 or 60 yarder to have a chance. But he kept ripping off 10-yarders, 15-yarders. over and over and over again. It's amazing to me that this team can run through a running back like this with Christian Ponder as their quarterback. No outside threats, in my view, without Percy Harvin there. And they're still able to get it done. So, you know, can they do it again in Lambeau? It remains to be seen.
Now, the Packers' defense, absolutely terrible. Peterson combined for 414 yards in just two games versus Green Bay this year, which is absolutely remarkable. Even Christian Ponder, Todd, you said he doesn't have a lot of options on the outside, but you know what? He got things going in Week 17. He threw for 234 yards and three touchdowns. But as bad as the Packers' defense is, the Vikings' defense may be worse. Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Aaron Rodgers torched their secondary. 365 yards and four touchdowns last week. What do you say? Let's bring out the edge meter. Quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Christian Ponder? Who you got?
Geez. Who would I go with there? That's a landslide victory for Aaron Rodgers. Come on.
As much as that quarterback matchup is pretty much a landslide in the Packers' favor, their rushing attack for the Vikings has got to be a landslide over the Packers.
Absolutely. Right. Adrian Peterson. Absolutely.
How about playmakers? Now, when you think of the playmakers, you think of special teams, too. Randall Cobb, big impact on special teams. Maybe he's a little too banged up to participate or to really make an impact. But like you said, Todd, without Percy Harvin, I mean, I really can't even name a lot of the Vikings.
No, and if you want to go
defense.
They
got a couple rookies and a couple washed-up veterans.
Yeah, and, you know, Jared Allen's kind of had a quiet year for him this year. He's kind of on the back end of his career. So the edge for playmaking ability have to go with the Packers. Greg Jennings is back and healthy. Randall Cobb's supposed to play in this one. James Jones, 14 touchdowns this year. Are you kidding me?
That's nuts.
You know, and then, of course, Aaron Rodgers, in my view, is a tremendous playmaker.
Yep.
Who's better at sliding out of the pocket and making something happen than Aaron Rodgers? So huge advantage, in my opinion, there. Even though, you know, the Vikings have Adrian Peterson, who can rip off 80-yard runs at any time, got to give the edge to the Packers.
All right, how about coaching staff? Now, Mike McCarthy, the Packers' Super Bowl-winning head coach, Leslie Frazier of the Vikings, only been around for a few years.
Yeah, it's clearly the Packers.
Home field crowd going with the Lambeau people, or you think the Purple People Eaters will make an appearance up there in Green Bay?
Oh, come on now, Bill.
Vikings travel well. The Vikings
they do.
Vikings and the Steelers, maybe the Cowboys, are probably the three best teams you see their fans at away games.
Vikings?
Yeah.
You throw them in there?
I'm with Todd on this one.
What?
I'm telling you, Vikings travel well for whatever reason.
Ask Kevin. Who travels well to New England?
Well,
the
Steelers for sure. No doubt about
definitely
it. But another one that has predominantly traveled well, especially up here because it's an easy trip, is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah?
Yep.
We've had a large presence, especially in the playoff games that we've had up here, the AFC title game last year, and then also that game in 2009 where they routed us. I was actually in the stands as a fan in 2009, surrounded by them. So I can definitely vouch for their fan base as well.
I feel like it's an NFC North rivalry. People are dying to get out of Minnesota. I mean, if I lived there, I'd take any chance to leave. And even if that means going to Green Bay, then that's what you got to do.
Are the conditions at all a factor in this game?
I think it's going to be like 16 degrees.
No, but I mean like a dome team. Or did they not play in that thing anymore?
No, they're still playing the dome.
Because I thought they were getting a new stadium or something.
Yeah, but it's still going to be a dome.
All right. I didn't know if they were getting... Because didn't they have that battle, too, with the University of Minnesota? Didn't they just build a new stadium?
Yes.
And they were trying to debate, do we keep it inside? Do we build a dome? So I didn't, like... I don't know. I never like to pick dome teams in the playoffs. It's just my thing, especially when they're playing outside.
It's going to be 16 degrees on Saturday night, so it's going to be very cold. But apparently the wind is not going to be a factor. So, I mean, other than the temperature, there's not going to be any snow or anything.
But you guys don't subscribe to that kind of old school theory that dome teams don't win outdoors in the playoffs?
Not really.
I always have because of those old Colts matchups here. They never did that well in the conditions.
I think that I agree with you with a team that relies on the pass, but clearly the Vikings.
Oh, yeah, they're a run team, no doubt about it. And I can appreciate that point, too. I just meant from a, you know, you take a team that's kind of used to playing in 60 or 70 degree heated area and throw them out into 16, you know, it's just something different.
I see you there, but I think that because this is a divisional game, essentially, you know, where the Vikings are playing in Chicago. They're playing in Green Bay, you know, during the season. You know, it's not like the Colts who are playing the Titans and
yep.
Jacksonville.
Yep,
and,
no, I see you.
And then going up to New England in the playoffs. I think if they're a little more accustomed to it. But I do put some credence to that theory, and that's why I think it was very, very important that the Falcons achieved home field advantage throughout the playoffs, because to put them on the road, we saw what they did in the Meadowlands last year. 2 points, you know. So I think that they really needed that that home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, if you really think that if you play in the Dome during the regular season, you can't play outside in the postseason, that's going to be a big problem next year, because the Super Bowl in 2014 is at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm hoping not to be at that one. I'd have to wear my footy pajamas in that one.
Well, I'm just...
My long underwear.
Yeah. Well, you watch Vikings, Packers, who wins the game?
Oh, I've got to go.
The Packers.
Yeah. You've got to go Packers. What's your score, Kev?
Everyone's going with the Packers?
So it was, what was it, 37-34 this past weekend? I think
yep.
it was.
And the yep. first time they played, it was 23-14.
Yeah, I think it's going to be somewhere in between those. I'll go Packers 28 because Mason Crosby's awful and he's not going to make a field goal. I'll go Packers 28. I'll go Vikings 17.
Oh, man, you stole my thunder. I'm saying 30-17, Packers.
Mason Crosby's terrible, by the way.
Yeah, 30-17.
I haven't got on a rant on him all
year.
No, I don't think they have a shot.
That's because he's a kicker. We don't go on kicker rants on the show.
But he's been,
tight
like, historically awful.
The minimum. It doesn't matter. He's still a kicker.
All right, so what's your score, Bill? I got 30-17.
The only kicker that you can go on a rant on is the one from the Ravens last year. What the heck was his name?
Cundiff?
Billy Cundiff, right.
Yeah, who
the
Niners just picked
really
up.
Rant on. You can't... Yeah, right, the Niners just picked him up. What were they thinking?
Well, did you see David Akers last
week?
You guys
really don't think the Vikings have a shot in this game?
No, I think they have zero chance.
You guys don't think the Vikings have a shot in this game?
I think they have a shot, but
zero
chance.
This game is my stone-cold lock of the weekend, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Really?
It's KC's stone-cold lock of the hour.
All right.
What's your score, Bill?
Over the Packers. So, Todd, you said 30-17. Kevin, you said 27-21?
I said 28-17.
I think the Packers score more than that. I'm going to go with 42 for the Packers and 28 for the Vikings. 42-28. High scoring. Neither team has any defense. It's just pitiful.
So you have them winning by more points than Kevin and I both have them winning by.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay.
I think it'd be really high scoring, though.
All right.
I'm just shocked. It seemed like you guys were just very adamant about the Packers winning.
Well, Kevin is. I just, you know what? I just think that the Vikings have they had to play their A game for so long, and I just don't believe in Christian Ponder, and I think they gave their best shot last week at home.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a letdown too for them, and I think that they're going to fall behind early, and they're going to be like, oh crap, we can't throw the ball, and I think they're going to get a little bit of trouble because this, you know, of all the teams in the playoffs, they're, I think you could argue, you know, the team that's least capable of coming from behind.
Well, they had the worst quarterback in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we just spent 10 minutes talking about how they can't throw, so if they get down early, look out.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the Packers winning, all three of us, which would make a trip to San Francisco on their itinerary for the next week, correct? Packers at Niners the next week if our prediction holds true.
Which I think...
No, not necessarily.
What do you mean not necessarily?
Right.
Two versus three.
What happens? Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a lock. Two versus three.
I was thinking of the Seahawks and the Redskins game, but they're five and six.
I guarantee that the two plays the three seed.
That's
next
a
week.
Stone cold prediction.
Yeah.
But Todd, you know, we were talking about how you picked the Packers to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate that matchup for Green Bay. I mean, obviously, you know, if that game was at home or if they had a bye and played one, you know, those are better situations. But I think the Packers can go into San Francisco.
I do. I just obviously
I'm all about the quarterbacks in the playoffs.
Yeah, to watch when you watch what Tom Brady did in that small snippet of the game against that San Francisco defense. Granted, they were missing Smith. I get that. It's been well documented. But when the Patriots really went hurry up and spread the 49ers out, I mean, Tom Brady for like four or five drives had his way with that team. And I think, you know, you can argue that the Packers are even more talented with their receivers on the outside. You know, those guys are quicker, and I think they just have overall more depth. I would take their stable of receivers over, you know, Welker and Brandon Lloyd any day of the week. So yeah. I think it's a decent matchup for them.
I agree. I still think the Packers could easily win all three of these games. I just, you know, when you predict them to win, to get to the Super Bowl, obviously you want them to do it with two games instead of three. You know, I mean, you got to win a tricky game against the Vikings at home, go on the road to San Fran, and then maybe go on the road against Atlanta. Yeah, that's a tough road. Then again, the Packers in a dome against the Falcons. We saw that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, didn't they put up like almost 40 points or something like that in that game? Yeah, it was insane. It wasn't even a game. I mean, it was a rout.
Well, and that's the Falcons. You know, they got to get over this stigma.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And we went through this so often on our show the whole year about, you know, so many people, whether it was Kerry when we had him on, were just such big fans of Houston and big fans of Atlanta. And I think Todd and I, we were on the same wavelength as not buying into either one of those teams. So Houston's already started to fall apart. It'll be interesting to see where they and the Falcons, who were at the top of so many people's power rankings the whole year, it'll be interesting to see how they do this playoffs.
48-21, 2010 playoffs. 48-21.
Guys,
Packers
the Falcons are making it today. The Falcons are making it to the NFC Championship.
Really? That's a prediction
they
right there.
They have to beat the Seahawks or the Redskins. I mean, let's call a spade here.
Falcons
will be in the NFC Championship.
I tell you what, man.
And it will be in Atlanta.
Well, we'll get to those predictions a little later. Let's get through these four games first. But I don't know. I think the Falcons might have a tricky game next week. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
But you could also make the argument.
That wraps up our Saturday.
Sorry, guys, but as a Falcons fan, right? See, Bill, put your Matt Ryan jersey on for a second, and you know you're sitting there in your chair having a cold one, and you're thinking about, okay, we're the number one seed, we've got the bye, we've been in this situation before, we have home field throughout, everyone's coming through us to get to the Super Bowl, to get to New Orleans. If you're that Falcons fan sitting in your chair, what do you consider success from here on in? Is it winning the Super Bowl? Is it making the Super Bowl? Is it making the NFC title game? Like, if I'm in that position, I want nothing less than at least going to the Super Bowl when I'm the number one seed with home field advantage in the NFC. Like, I would consider I would consider losing in the NFC title game at home a failure.
No.
But that's just me.
If you're a Falcons fan?
Yeah, that's just me.
No way.
When you're the number one overall seed,
four teams of the NFL.
Okay, so
you had one of the best records in the entire league.
So you're
make it to the NFC Championship game, you're going to consider your season
failure. So basically, all they need to do is
come on,
win.
Dude.
All they need. I'm just trying to do some psychology here. All they need to do is win one game against Washington or Seattle, and you're happy. It's a successful playoff run.
You asked if it was a successful. Their season would be a failure if they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. You're totally bringing up two different things.
No. But if I'm
their season a failure if they make it to, if they don't make it to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not.
Okay. See, I'm saying it is. If I put my fan cap on, then I'm.
So then, what is a team like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Cleveland Browns?
Oh,
they didn't even make it to the playoffs. They didn't even win six games.
No, I mean, but I think that they're. I'm trying to phrase. Todd, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say no, Todd.
If you are you happy with just winning one game in the playoffs?
But I'm happy. It's not about the one game in the playoffs.
Okay.
It's about making it to the NFC Championship game.
All right, that's
having
fair
one
enough.
Of the best records in the league, and having a team that you know got over that stupid playoff hump that they can't win. That Matt Ryan can't win a playoff game.
Okay.
You were a Final Four team in the NFL. That is something.
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff
going
there.
To next season.
I agree to hang your hat on. There's a lot of good stuff
you
there.
You can't consider the season. Obviously, you're disappointed. Your expectations of getting to the Super Bowl were warranted and very realistic. That didn't happen. You can't be disappointed with the season.
Here's
you
the thing,
be upset
Kevin.
Upset for a little
yep.
bit.
Here's the thing. I think that if you're a fan of that team, they haven't won a playoff game since 2004.
Agreed.
They were disappointing in 2008 against the Cardinals, lost 30-24. Got crushed at home by Aaron Rodgers. We talked about that, 48-14.
Scored 2 points against the Giants, I think.
Yeah, 2 points last year. So I think if I'm a Falcons fan, I just want to get one stinking playoff win.
Yeah, I just feel – I just have this thing with – if you're the number one seed and you get the bye and that you know, you know, all you have to do is win two stinking home games to get to the Super Bowl, I just feel like it's – I don't know.
But here's the thing. Again, they got to get the monkey off their back.
Yep.
All right. And then number two, this is a program that has, you know, a decent future ahead. I mean, Matt Ryan's still
a young guy. Yeah.
So it's not like you're a team, you know, with like an aging Kurt Warner.
You've got Julio and Roddy. You're going to have those guys. Yep.
Yeah. Again, when I'm a fan of my team, I mean, I'm Super Bowl or bust. So I hear what you're saying there. But in this circumstance, and again, it probably depends on how they would lose that NFC title game. Do you know what I mean? How would they lose that game? Would they clearly the inferior team? You know, did the Packers or the Niners roll in there and just play a great game?
Yeah.
Or did the Falcons stink up the joint? You know, that plays a factor in it too. So we kind of get to see how that plays out.
All right, fair enough.
If you're under the Super Bowl or bust theory, then only one team's fan base is excited every year.
No, I just feel like you have to reassess the situation once you're seated and you're in the playoffs. That's all.
But Bill, there are exceptions to that rule. What you just said, okay? If you're a Colts fan, okay,
yeah, right.
And they lose on Sunday, you're mm-hmm. you're excited because you've got a great future.
Right.
You have a team that just turned it completely around. If Andy Reid, we're going to talk about coaches here in the next segment or two. Andy Reid gets hired by like the Chiefs, which is the rumor today. And you know the Chiefs were 2-14 this year, number one overall pick in the NFL draft, and he leads them to a 7-9 season next year. You're pretty excited, you know.
Yeah.
So there are exceptions to the rule, but when you're the Falcons and you've been in the playoffs the last couple of years and you've fallen short and miserably fallen short, and everyone's talking about how you can't get down to playoffs, if you get one win in the playoffs, at least it takes the monkey off your back. And you go, it does depend, though, to Kevin's point, it does depend on how you would lose that NFC title game. You lose it on a pick six in the final 3 minutes or a shanked field goal kick or something crazy, you're going to be very disappointed, obviously, but they just got to win a sticking playoff game.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. All right, then enough with the Falcons. Let's go back to the wild card weekend. Let's take a look at Sunday's action. Kicking off 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis, 2-14 a year ago, like you just mentioned, Todd, drafted Andrew Luck, hired a new coaching staff, finished the regular season 11-5. Certainly something the Colts fans should be proud of.
Absolutely. They're not done yet. Like, and Andrew Luck, as good as he's been, if you look at his stats, like completion percentage,
mm-hmm.
he has a hard time getting to 50% some of these games.
Yeah.
You know? So he's only going to get better. They've had some other surprising players that have stepped it up, like Vic Ballard, T.Y. Hilton. So they've got a young team. You get the feeling that there's a big intangible here, which we're going to talk about, the whole Chuck Strong thing. But without the Chuck Strong thing, you might think that they might be happy to be here type thing.
Right.
Man, they've got a spiritual thing going on here. And I think that helped them last week against the Texans. And, you know, they didn't technically need to win that game against the Texans. But they came out and beat them down pretty good, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And they're going into another team. We've talked about it all year long. Kevin just mentioned it. We weren't high on the Texans' defense. Weren't high on the Ravens' defense. And they get to face the Ravens here. So I think it's a winnable game for the Colts. And can they ride the momentum, the whole Chuck Strong thing for another week? You know, I think they have a chance.
Now, I see your Chuck Strong argument about that being motivation for the Colts. But how about Ray Lewis, the linebacker? How long has he been in the league? Got drafted in 1996. I'm not good at math. But he's been in the league for a long time. And we know he's a future Hall of Famer. He says he's going to retire once the Ravens are eliminated from the playoffs. And how about that timing of his announcement?
Yeah, that's a good counter argument there. You know, that's a great one actually. How is he going to rev up the team? He's going to be in uniform, correct?
Yeah,
and he probably will play a little bit.
I would assume so.
Maybe even more than we expect. You know, they're kind of keeping that quiet. So
right.
maybe he's going to come out just completely on fire and with the adrenaline. Maybe he'll be able to, you know, stick it through the game despite the injury. That's a great point. You know, will they use that as motivation? I'm sure they will. But man, the Ravens have been playing some pretty awful football the second half of the season.
So, yeah, they've lost four of their last five games. Meanwhile, the Colts have won five of their last six. So clearly the momentum is in the Colts' favor right now.
Yeah, and to the Ravens' defense, you know, they did lose to some playoff teams. They lost four of those five, or three. They've lost four out of five, and three of those losses were against Washington, Denver, Cincy. So, you know, they were playing some quality teams down the stretch. They did crush the Giants in Week 16.
Yep.
And the other loss was a close one to the Steelers, which is, you know, it's no shame in losing to the Steelers by three. So, you know,
even when Big Ben wasn't under center.
That's true. They lost.
They lost to Charlie Batch. There's some shame in that.
Good point. Good point. Touche. You know, I'm trying to come up with a defense for the Ravens here down the stretch. It's hard to do.
I don't really have one. They fired their offensive coordinator recently. Let's look at the evaluation meter. Who gets the edge at quarterback, Joe Flacco or the rookie Andrew Luck?
Do you give it to the veteran
or do you give it to the next elite quarterback?
I'm not a fan of Joe Flacco, man.
No.
I'm gonna go with my heart here and go with Luck. How about
All right. I'm going to go with Andrew Luck as well. How about the rushing attack? Colts cannot stop the run. Ray Rice should have a phenomenal day.
Yeah.
Vic Ballard coming on strong for the Colts, but I still give the edge to Ray Rice and the Ravens.
Yeah, you have to go with Ray Rice there.
All right, playmakers now. You mentioned T.Y. Hilton, and Todd, I got to give you credit because you told me about this kid when he was still at Florida International. I was calling him Ty Hilton, and you're like, no, Bill, it's T.Y. You got to get it right. And here he is helping his team make the playoffs, one of the promising young playmakers in the league. Had a great game, had a great season, had a great game last week, four catches, 74 yards and a touchdown. When you think about the Ravens playmakers, you know, you think of Ed Reed and maybe Jacoby Jones on special teams. So who do you think gets the edge on this one?
I'm going to give a slight edge to the Colts.
Okay.
Because of T.Y. Hilton. I mean, return game and over the top. He can catch the bombs. You know, his I don't have it in front of me, but his yards per catch is off the charts. You know, he's not one of those possession guys that's going to catch a little 9-yarder. He's going to go 40 yards, you know, when he catches the ball. So I'll give the slight edge to the Colts there.
All right, so how about coaching staff? Now, I think Chuck Pagano, he has some ties to the Baltimore Ravens, right? Wasn't he their defensive coordinator last year?
I believe you might be right on that, but I'm going to give the edge to Harbaugh here. I do like the Harbaugh brothers as coaches, and despite all the problems they've had, you know, Harbaugh's got them nearly to the promised land a couple times, so I'm going to go with Harbaugh here over the inexperienced Colts staff.
Now, the Colts pretty much cleaned house over the offseason, pretty much brought in an entirely new team, signed a lot of free agents, a lot of rookies. Who has the more playoff experience, the Ravens, who were in the AFC Championship last year, or this young Colts team?
Yeah, it's all the Ravens here, and like you said, despite you know, would I rather have Luck or who might not know any better, right?
Right.
Or would I have Flacco? I've seen enough of Flacco. I just don't believe in him as being a championship caliber quarterback. He's a solid NFL quarterback, but he's just kind of, I don't know, McNabb like maybe.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Does McNabb, enough to get them pretty far, but just not.
I just don't think he has that gene in him. I don't think he has that gene in him that can get him over the top, and he certainly doesn't have the defense any longer to get him over the top. So experience-wise, though, team-wise, you got to give it to the Ravens.
All right, home field crowd. Do you think they're going to go crazy down there in Baltimore?
Crazy? I mean, it's a decent home field advantage they have there. And the weather, you know, Kevin was just talking about in the years past when the Peyton Manning's Colts had to come up to Foxborough playing out of the dome. It caused problems for them. Could be something similar to that here with Andrew Luck. You know, Andrew Luck went to school out in California, Bill. Now he's playing a lot of his games at a dome.
Right.
I'll check the weather here while we're talking in Baltimore for Sunday. But there could be some elements. It's certainly not going to be warm in Baltimore. Let me find it here.
It is
for you.
1 o'clock on Sunday, so you know it's not going to be a night game, and you don't have to worry about it being too cold.
Actually, sure pretty balmy in Baltimore on Sunday. The high is 49 and partly cloudy, with slight winds. So yeah, that does help a little
compared to what we've had here the last couple of days. That's tropical.
Yeah, it is.
In shorts.
Yeah, high of 49, low of 39.
It was 4 degrees when I got my truck this morning.
Four.
Where are you living? Canada?
No, just right north of Foxborough. It's been really cold here the last couple of days.
Oh God! All right, so who's going to win this game, Todd? Colts and Ravens.
I really want to pick the Colts here, Bill.
Even though you just gave the edge to the Ravens in almost every category
except quarterback? Let me finish my sentence. I want to pick the Colts, but I'm going to go Ravens. Going to go real close. I'm going to go 2017.
Okay. Kevin, you want to make a prediction?
I'll go Baltimore. Baltimore 27, the Colts 24.
Todd, you said 20 to 17?
Yeah.
So 3 points. Kevin, you said 27-24?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tight, just a little higher scoring.
I think 21-20, very close game. It's going to come down to a last-second touchdown. I'm going to give it to the Ravens, though.
All right, who's scoring the last-second touchdown?
I think it could be like Torrey Smith, you know, going for a bomb from Flacco.
Yeah, okay. Not a fumble return by Ray Lewis.
No, not a fumble return by Ray Lewis, but that would be an awesome way to start his retirement run.
All
now,
right. So,
if the Ravens win, and we all think they will, they'll play the Broncos, assuming the Texans win. If the Colts win, the Broncos would play Indianapolis. Patriots still play the Texans.
Right, right. Yep. All right.
Final wild card game of the weekend, Washington Redskins versus Seattle Seahawks. We got two rookie quarterbacks in this one, Russell Wilson and RG3. Now, Todd, Seattle was undefeated at home this year. They have a better record than the Redskins. But since Washington won the NFC East, they get home field advantage. Do we think Seattle is that much of a different team when they're playing on the road?
I would have said that in the first half of the season, Bill. But Seattle has really impressed me in the second half of the year.
You like what they've been doing, huh?
I love what they've been doing. How can you not?
Both of these teams on very impressive winning streaks. Seattle, last loss came in Week 12 versus Miami, but they have won five straight. The Redskins' last loss came in Week 9 to the Panthers. In fact, that was right after Mike Shanahan said this team is done. Remember that? They were on a three-game losing streak. But ever since their bye week in Week 10, they've had seven straight wins.
Yeah, and Seattle last week with not a whole lot to play for. If they were watching the scoreboard, you know, they kind of snuck by the Rams. Not impressive at all.
Right.
But the three games prior to that, they scored 150 points.
They've been really getting it done on both sides of the football.
150-30, they outscored the Cardinals, Bills, and Niners.
Okay.
I mean, that is getting it done. You know, as Kerry Byrne, who will be a guest here shortly on the show, will attest, this is one of the hottest teams in the league.
Yeah.
So I think that this team is a real threat to knock off a team or two here in the playoffs.
I totally agree with you. And, in fact, the Seahawks are favorites despite being on the road. They're -3. So they're giving the home team, the Redskins, 3 points in this one, according to, you know, Vegas.
Yeah, and I tell you what, man, the Seahawks could have they were given the game against Green Bay, but if they had another win in their belt, they would be playing some home games, and they'd be nearly impossible to beat in Seattle. And we didn't mention that during the Packers preview, but think about it. That Packers loss to Seattle cost them a first round bye, ultimately. If you want to go down that route, because they lost out on the home field advantage by one game, and that game hurt them. So Packers fans can't be happy with that. So we're going to go through the meter here real quick.
Yeah, Seahawks versus Redskins. Who gets the edge at quarterback? Both of us love RG3. We also like Russell Wilson. Which rookie do you like better?
You know what? I'm going to go with a surprise here. I'm going to go a slight edge to Russell Wilson.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think RG3 – I love RG3. Well documented on the show and other shows that we do for a long time. I think he's lost a little dimension of his game, and he's not quite as nimble. And I'm going to give I've watched Russell Wilson quite a bit in college. I watched them both in college. Russell Wilson's played in a lot of big games, and he is clutch. He is super clutch. Whereas RG3 played pretty clutch, but most of the games he played in college were kind of blowouts, some crazy losses and stuff. Russell Wilson's playing some big games, and he's come through. I'm going to give him the edge.
All right, the reason why I agree with you with Russell Wilson is mainly because the Redskins' defense is just so bad. I think Russell Wilson can definitely have his way with Washington's secondary. And, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit, but he can make some plays with his rushing capability as well.
He's thrown 26 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about that.
Right.
That's a lot of touchdown passes.
Yeah, sure is.
Especially for a rookie.
All right, how about the rushing attack? Both great running backs on Redskins and Seattle. Obviously, you have beast mode with Marshawn Lynch. But how about the rookie, Alfred Morris? 1,500 yards, actually broke Washington's single-season record by was originally set by Clinton Portis, or not originally, but Clinton Portis had the record. Alfred Morris broke it. Who do you give the edge, Lynch or Morris?
I like them both, but I'll give a slight edge to beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. He's shown he can do it in the playoffs before. Alfred Morris, we kept waiting for him to hit that rookie wall, especially for running backs.
And he never did.
Never did, and he looked super strong last week. So I like both rushing games here. I'll give a slight edge to Marshawn and Turbin. I like Turbin, the rookie, as well as you know there, Bill. So yeah. I'll give that 1-2 punch to the slight edge.
All right, how about the playmakers for these squads? You think of the wide receivers for Seattle, really only have two of them, Sidney Rice and Golden Tate, but they do have a dynamic return man in Leon Washington. For the playmakers for the Redskins, it's mostly Pierre Garçon at the wide receiver spot, and they got a few ball hawks on defense with D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, Pierre Garçon hasn't done much down the stretch.
It was mostly because RG3 was a little bit banged up.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a little edge to Seattle here because of the defensive threat. That's a ball hawks on defense as well, Bill, and they've been known to score a defensive touchdown or two. So I'm going to give the edge to the Seahawks there.
All right, how about the coaching staff? We know Mike Shanahan won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Pete Carroll, back and forth around a few NFL teams, made a few stops in college. Who do you think gets the edge here?
You know, I've never been a huge Pete Carroll guy. I think he's kind of goofy.
Shanahan?
What's that?
You'd like Mike Shanahan?
I don't like Mike Shanahan much better.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Pete Carroll, he's just kind of goofy. And he does some goofy things sometimes. And so I think Mike Shanahan, you kind of know what you're going to get. So I'll just give a slight edge to Shanahan here. Don't love him, but I'll give him a slight edge.
All right, now how about playoff experience? Think about it. You got two rookie quarterbacks here. So it might be a neutral matchup for the edge. It might be right down the middle.
Yeah, but the Seahawks have been in the playoffs here and again
yeah.
the last couple of years, the rest of the team. And Marshawn, he hit that huge game, that huge run, one of the best runs I've ever seen against the Saints a couple years ago, right?
Right.
So I'll give the playoff edge to the Seahawks. I mean, the Skins have been in the playoffs in forever. So I'll give the edge to the Seahawks.
That home field crowd, you mentioned the Redskins haven't been in the playoffs, I believe, the last time, I don't know, back in the 90s.
They're going to be fired up, Bill.
You think so? See, if there's any hometown, any home crowd that does not scare me in the NFL, it's the Washington Redskins.
Oh, come on. The first time
they're
in the playoffs.
Got those old guys dressing up as hogs and girls' outfits. I don't really understand that. They got like a band there.
Bill, this is a proud franchise. They're going to be fired up for this one. Trust
All
me.
Right.
They're going to be. It's their first home playoff game in a very, very long
really
time.
Really long time, yeah.
They're going to be electric. The place is going to be fired up.
All right, so who gets the edge, or who? What's your prediction on this one?
Seahawks, 27-20.
Win. All right, so we do not have any upsets. 27-20, you think the score is going to be?
27-20.
I don't even think the Redskins get that much. I'm going to give the Redskins 13. I think Seattle goes off in this game. I'm going to go 27. I don't want to use the same score as you. 31-13 is going to be my score.
Okay, all right.
31-13. I love that Seattle defense, and I think their offense is really good. Especially against this really weak Washington defense. I just, you know, I think the Redskins' offense is so gimmicky, and I think Seattle's defense is going to figure it out. Really do.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Seattle here. I think it'll be a pretty good game for a half. I think Seattle might take control. Redskins will be playing from behind.
Right.
And they'll come up short in the end. And then you'll have, if that happens, if our predictions hold true, you'll have Seattle playing in the dome against Falcons.
Atlanta, yeah. And then, as you mentioned before, Packers would go on to play the 49ers.
And I love those two games. Those two games, to me, are very exciting. I love those games.
So we are not predicting an upset in any of these wild card games. I'm a little upset about that. I think we should switch the Colts and Ravens pick.
Well, that's the one. That's the one where I really wanted
to
take
Colts. Let's switch it up. Let's get one underdog going here.
All right. Well, I wanted to pick the Colts, and let's go Colts 20-17. What the hell?
This is going to be Red Lewis's last game. I think the Colts as well. Let's go with the Colts. Switch it up. Let's go. I like going with the underdog.
There you go.
All right, I like that. I like that. I'm glad we made that decision. We got to take a quick break here, but coming up next, Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com will join us. We'll dive a bit deeper into these games and go over each team's odds at winning the Super Bowl. That's all coming up next here on Football Nation. You're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the Cold Hard Football Facts, right here on Football Nation.
All right, how about it? Bill and Todd hanging out with you on Football Nation, Patriots.com radio. We are proud and very happy to be joined by Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. You can listen to Kerry's show right here on Patriots.com every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. And don't forget to follow him on Twitter, at Football Facts. So, Kerry, here we are in the playoffs. You've been crunching stats, crunching numbers all season long. So are the Vegas odd makers. What do you say we go team by team? Compare the Vegas odds to winning the Super Bowl with what you have going on over at ColdHardFootballFacts.com with your quality stat power rankings.
Sounds good.
Now, Kerry, we start off. Would you want to start off with the lowest or the top?
We'll start off with the lowest. It's more interesting that way.
All right. I'm glad you said that because Todd and I, we just did our wild card weekend predictions, and we wanted to have at least one underdog, so we picked the Colts. But I'm just looking at the Vegas odds right now, and they are 45-1 for winning the Super Bowl. So maybe we should have went with another team. What do you think?
I know you're asking Todd. I'm sorry. Well, you know, stranger things have happened. But I'll tell you what, the Colts have kind of with statistical mirrors, if you will. I mean, they're really not a good team, guys. They've had some late season, late game magic.
Yep.
But if you look at them top to bottom, I mean, even their quality stats, they're in the top 10 in like 2 of 20 quality stats. They're number 22 overall in our power rankings in terms of, and what makes our power rankings different, guys, as you know, is we don't form our own opinion. We look at everyone statistically across the board in our numbers at win and lose football games.
Right.
And they're really kind of a statistical anomaly. You see this every now and then. In fact, we saw a very similar situation last year with the Denver Broncos, who were not a good team, but had some late-game magic and enough games to make the playoffs. And the Colts are very similar. I would be shocked, in fact, if they got by the Baltimore Ravens this weekend. I think they're a good story. They're a fun story. They're an uplifting story with the whole, Chuck Strong thing with Chuck Pagano. But at the end of the day, they're really not a Super Bowl-caliber team. They're lucky to be in the playoffs. Best-case scenario, they win this weekend. Most likely they won't. And the future is very bright for them, but it's not their year right now. And I would actually have a heart attack if they won the Super Bowl.
Well, we don't want that to happen, Kerry. Todd, I mean, Kerry's kind of blasting our
wings. I don't know.
Todd, Kerry's kind of blasting our wild card upset here.
So
the
Kerry,
Colts don't even deserve to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, we just went through our picks, Kerry, and then after we made our picks, Bill realized that we picked the favorite in all four games.
I hate doing that.
And so Bill made us pick one upset.
So you did it only reluctantly, Todd.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Actually,
he originally picked the Ravens. I made him switch his.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just have a feeling that I'm not real high on the Ravens either, so I think that it's going to be a relatively close game. And
well,
if you
I'll
have
tell
to...
you what, Todd, to speak to some of that, I mean, we just did, and you'll see the videos on Cold Hard Football Fast and on Football Nation later tonight and tomorrow, our weekly videos, and one of our segments was on the Colts versus the Ravens, and we charted this week who has momentum going into the playoffs. Statistically, who has momentum and who doesn't? And right now, the Colts really have a lot of momentum. I mean, they're playing their best football late in the season. If you see the chart we'll have, that's Football Nation and the Cold Hard Football Facts, you'll see statistically they are peaking right now. But they were peaking from a bad point. They were a bad statistical team that's playing its best football right. The Ravens were a good team that's playing poor football right now. And I can see a scenario with those lines, the Ravens declining, and you'll see the line graph, the Ravens declining statistically, and the Colts getting better. Those two lines could intersect this weekend. I mean, one team is definitely on the upswing, the Colts, and one team is definitely on the downswing, the Ravens. And again, those numbers could intersect this week. I'd be surprised if they do, but they are certainly, at the very least, two teams moving in opposite directions.
Well, one thing we can all agree on, at 45-1, it's throwing your money away this year, correct?
Yes.
To win the Super Bowl.
Yes, to win the Super Bowl, absolutely. And I think another bet you're throwing the money away on.
From the Cardinals when they were down in the baseball Cardinals. Weren't they down like 3-0 in the NL Championship Series and they went on to win the World Series? The guy like won $2 million, like a $100 bet. So stranger things have happened, gentlemen.
Well, and somebody also, if you remember the other Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals, the year they got crushed by the Patriots in Foxborough in the snow, and then they started their playoff run the next week, and they went on to get to the Super Bowl, only to lose on the incredible catch by Santonio Holmes in the corner of the end zone. And I remember people that had some, you know, I forget what the odds were, but it was very similar to this, 40-50-1, and they came within 30 seconds of getting a huge payday. So you never quite know, but I just think that the Colts, I mean, come on, they're going to have to get through the Patriots and Broncos if they were to get past this. I just don't see it happening. No chance.
Now, the next team, I'm actually shocked that Vegas has given them more of a chance to win the Super Bowl to the Minnesota Vikings, because they're 40-1. I would have thought the Vikings would have been the lowest or the highest odds to win 45-1, and the Colts being 40-1, but I guess I have it reversed.
Well, I think it's because, again, I think that with the odds makers, and Kerry can speak to this better than I can, you know, everyone's looking at the Broncos and the Patriots, man. I mean,
right. So
you got to get through two of those teams, you know.
Yeah.
In the NFC, it's pretty wide open. I mean, nobody's, you know, there aren't a lot of people that are true believers in the Falcons. So
right.
When it comes to these odds, I think that these AFC teams not named New England or Denver are going to have longer odds.
Kerry, where are the Vikings on your power rankings?
You know, they beat the Packers last week, but at the end of the day, they're not really a great team. They're number 16 in our power rankings. They're a middle-of-the-road team.
16?
Christian Ponder, he had a nice game against the Packers on Sunday, but he's not a great quarterback. They're a very deficient team in the passing attack, and only because of Adrian Peterson's epic season have they even competed. But in reality, guys, in the long run, teams do not win with great running backs. And you can look at any great running back in history, none of them one without a great quarterback. None of them,
right.
Period.
Right.
You need to have a great passing game. I don't care how good your running game is. You need to have a great passing game. So as good as Adrian Peterson has been, and one of the greatest rushing seasons in history, they're just not equipped a quarterback to get it done, to beat Aaron Rodgers, to beat Matt Ryan, to beat the teams they need to beat, to beat even Russell Wilson if it came to that. They're not, which is one scenario where the Seattle would get a home game. They're not winning. They're not negotiating that gauntlet, guys, with Christian Ponder. As simple as that. And I think that the road ends for them in Lambeau Field on Saturday night. I mean, they're just not. The Packers are just a better team, and I just don't see. You know, I love the Adrian Peterson story, but at the end of the day, that's not how they're going to get it done. Guys, the Vikings are number 29th in the NFL on average per pass attempt. They have a higher average per rush attempt than pass attempt.
Hmm.
Do you know how hard that is?
That's crazy.
That's impossible.
Yeah, that's nuts.
That means you have one of the greatest rushing teams of all time, which they do, and one of the worst passing teams in football. It's not you need to pass the football effectively. I know everyone's established a run and run in the postseason. It's BS. You need to pass the football. The great quarterbacks always get there, and Christian Ponder, guys, is not getting to the Super Bowl.
All right, speaking of bad quarterbacks, the Ravens are up next. Baltimore, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. And, Kerry, I know you're not a big fan of Joe Flacco.
Well, you know, I just talked about quarterbacks. I mean, both of that. I mean, they are a middle-of-the-road passing attack. And what happened at the start of the season, right, they had that big 44-13 win over the Bengals in week one, right? Everyone's waiting to declare Joe Flacco the next great thing. But, guys, I'm looking at the numbers right now. 15th in average per pass attempt, 14th in real quarterback rating, 16th in offensive pass rating. They are an average passing team. And by the way, guys, that defense is declined precipitously.
Right.
It's not a great defense anymore. It's really not. So you got an average passing attack and an average defense. That's never spelled Super Bowl in any era.
And, Todd, you just pointed out the Bengals are actually 45-1. They're tied with the Colts for the lowest lowest odds for winning the Super Bowl.
The Bengals are.
Yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention them earlier.
You know what? I think of any team upsetting winning on the road, I can see Cincinnati doing it.
This weekend against the Texans?
Yeah, well, I can see Seattle, to me, is a team that's going to win on the road. But
they're not an underdog.
What's that?
They're not an underdog.
Exactly. So, but Cincinnati, you know what? They have a great defensive front, guys. They got good talent on offense. They're number 4 in our defensive log index. They got some great young defensive linemen, and they're playing a team that's vulnerable, very vulnerable. And how about this, guys? How about this for a – it's not even a cold hard football stat, but it's a great stat. The Houston Texans have given up 331 points this season, the same amount of points as the oft-criticized New England Patriots. They're tied for number 9 in scoring defense this year.
Okay.
It's not a great – this Houston defense is not a great defense anymore.
All right, how about we move over to the NFC East game, NFC game. Washington Redskins are 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. Carrie, do you think we'll see a rookie quarterback win this year win the Lombardi Trophy? We have three of them going.
I don't think we'll see them win it, but I do think we can see one of them get to it. I really do.
Will one of them be Washington and RG3?
What's that?
Will one of them be RG3 in Washington?
No, one of them will be Russell Wilson.
All right, well, the Seattle Seahawks are 11-1, and I know for a fact, they are very high in your Cold Hard Football Facts power rankings.
Not only are they high, they're number one.
Wow, all right. So they are 11-1. I guess that has to be the biggest disparity, right? They are 11-1 on the Super Bowl odds, but you have them as your number one team on your power rankings.
Well, you know, listen, there's a reason they're 11-1, right? We know they're not a good road team, right? They're 8-0 at home. They're unbeatable at home. They've won some big games at home. They're only 3-5 on the road, but they have played better on the road of late. But guys, right now, number one in scoring defense, okay? Number one in defensive efficiency, what we call bendability. Number one in our quality staff power rankings. Number three in defensive passer rating. The best pass defense in the postseason this year. And, oh, by the way, Russell Wilson leads an offense that's one of the best, most efficient passing attacks in football. Number five in offensive passer rating. Number six in real quarterback rating. These are all, by the way, we stack up every opponent in every game. If listeners go to Cold Hard Football Facts, become an insider, they can try it out for a week, guys. It's just $9.95 to get a week trial. They can see if we size up every opponent in every game in 20 different quality stats, and the Seahawks are a statistical dynamo right now. They have a very, very good quarterback in Russell Wilson. I don't care that he's a rookie, not RG3. But the thing is, RG3 is playing with a bad defense, guys. Russell Wilson's playing with the number one defense in football. And by the way, who's beat more quality teams this year? Who's beat won more quality games this year? The Seattle Seahawks beat 5 quality opponents this year, more than any team in football. This is a pretty good team, guys. A pretty good team. I would not be surprised to see them win the NFC title.
So there you go, Bill. You know, if you're going to make one of these kind of prop bets, right? You know, everyone does them in the Super Bowl. Who's going to score the first touchdown? It's boring to go with, like, that running back, you know, the stud running back. It always go with, like, a tight end. You know, somebody gives you a payday.
Yeah.
Right now, if you want to go by Carey's power rankings, which are always very accurate, I mean, Seattle has the 6th best chance, according to Vegas, to win the Super Bowl at 11-1. Mm-hmm. But they rank first on Carey's power rankings. So if you want to throw a few shekels down, you know, a little bit of a long shot, that's the one, man, 11-1.
It's hard. Let me tell you, in 2009, the Saints were number one in our quality staff power rankings. They won the Super Bowl. In 2010, the Packers were number one. They won the Super Bowl. In 2011, the Houston Texans were number one. And as far as we were concerned, statistically destined to win the Super Bowl before Matt Schaub's injury, and they went into the postseason handicapped with the rookie quarterback. Other than that, that team very well could have continued the streak for that quality stats power ranking. Very, very powerful stat, guys, because it looks only at indicators that winning lose football games. And Seattle right now, a very dangerous team, red hot, rising. I really think they can win the NFC title.
Let's talk about the next couple of teams here that Vegas are kind of moving up the ranks here. They have the Falcons at 7-1 to win it all, and the Packers at 8-1. Both of these teams, I believe, fall in the top 5 of the Cold Hard Football Facts power rankings, correct?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the one concern I have about Atlanta, okay, is, I mean, they're a very good team, guys. You know, they're the best record in football, right? We're not going to discount it. At the end of the day, it's about winning games. That's what it's about. But I can tell you this, they had the softest schedule in football. They played only 3 quality opponents. One of the stats we look at is quality standings, how you perform against teams with winning records. And they played only 3 teams with winning records all year, guys.
Wow.
You know, that's the fewest in football. For the sake of comparison, okay, the Green Bay Packers and Minnesota Vikings played 9. What would the Atlanta's record be if they played 6 more quality opponents? They would not have the best record in football, I can guarantee you that.
I'm looking at this, and your power ranking. Sorry to interrupt you, Kerry. Yeah, yep. The Lions played 11 teams.
Played 11, yeah. And look what it did for them. I mean, if they played fewer quality opponents, they might be a borderline playoff team instead of 4-12.
Wow.
That record, that really matters a lot. So I hate to say it, winning at the end of the day is the ultimate cure, right? And the Falcons are 13-3. But still, 3 quality opponents. By the way, in the AFC, and I got Denver now. I switched my pick from Houston winning the AFC to Denver. But Denver's weakness, guys, only 2 wins over quality opponents. They beat only 2 teams with winning records, the fewest among all the teams in the AFC field. In fact, the fewest of any playoff team. So they still have a little something to prove. As good as they are, as great as they've been on both sides of the football, they still have question marks. Can they beat three quality opponents in a row? We just don't know. It's simple as that.
What do you think, Bill? Falcons 7-1, a lot to prove. You like money on them? Would you throw a few shekels down on the Falcons or Packers 7-1, 8-1?
I think the Falcons, I really think they go to the Super Bowl this year.
Really?
I think they go to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they win it, but I think they're the NFC representative for the Super Bowl. Absolutely.
All right. But Kerry, the final three teams on this list, Vegas has the 49ers at 6-1.
Yep.
Patriots at 4-1 and Broncos 3-1 to win it all. Those are your top three teams. Again, I'll repeat it. At number three, they have the Niners at 6-1, Patriots 4-1, and Broncos 3-1. You agree? I mean, do you think that's
I think that's based on what Vegas thinks. I think Denver number one, best odds. Patriots second best odds. I agree with that, and I think everyone has a meeting in the AFC title game, which right there increases the odds of one of them getting there and winning, right? AFC is more of a crapshoot. I understand where they're coming from with San Francisco. I just don't think they're playing their best football right now. I think they're playing very volatile. And how about this, guys? The 49ers have not won more than two games in a row all season. They're 11-4-1 and have not strung together three wins all year.
Really?
That's a little shocking to me. I don't know if any team's ever won 11 games and never won more than two games in a row. And obviously, they need to win three in a row to win the Super Bowl. So, again, I have questions. At the end of the day, every team in the field has question marks. There's nobody you look at and say, yep, they're the team. But, at the end of the day, we're talking the lowest odds, the best odds are New England and Denver. And what do they have? They have the two best quarterbacks in football, right? And
right.
At the end of the day, it's a game all about the quarterback. That's what it's all about, guys. It's all about that position. It's really no more complex than that.
I'm a little surprised that the Niners are third on this list, to be honest with you. Through Vegas' eyes, right, I thought they might have had the Falcons and the Packers ahead of them.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
I mean, the Niners with Colin Kaepernick, and I love Colin Kaepernick as a future guy and all that. I just don't think he's going to lead them to a title to win it all this year. I don't care his surrounding cast. They got to win three games. Kerry just said they haven't won three games in a row all year.
And remember, Kaepernick guys had one great game. He threw four touchdowns against the Patriots. Other than that, he's not really had any great games, guys. His pass rating, by the way, is 8-9 points lower than Alex Smith. That team has actually declined a bit statistically with Colin Kaepernick at quarterback. I think they live to regret that decision at the end of the day. I really do.
You guys remember that Saints-Niners game last year, the NFC divisional round? That was a great game, a lot of hard-hitting. I think both of those teams beat each other up, and that's why the Giants were able to beat the Niners in overtime in the NFC championship game. I think the same thing happens this year. Niners and Packers meet up in the NFC divisional round. The Falcons will play the Seahawks. Falcons win at home against Seattle. Niners and Packers beat each other up, and then the loser has to travel to the East Coast down south to play Atlanta, and that's why I think the Falcons end up in the Super Bowl this year.
You don't think the Falcons will get a little beat up by Seattle?
I really think Atlanta is going to torch Seattle, and down there in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome, I think it's going to be a lot of fireworks for Falcon fans. I really think that. I would love to see Seattle win.
Atlanta.
What's that?
I think Seattle embarrasses Atlanta in Atlanta.
I would love to see that. I just don't think it's happening.
I think Seattle's so hot, man. It's going to be a very interesting game, assuming the Seahawks, win this weekend.
We have a couple shows next week. We can talk all about that if that were to happen. I see a little infighting here between Bill and Kerry, and I like it.
And everyone agrees, though, on this. The Broncos and the Patriots will win the AFC Championship.
Yeah, we all, Bill? We all agree, which is probably why it won't happen.
Wasn't it last year? We were talking about Packers-Saints, right?
Yeah, right.
Remember? The two dominant teams last year were Packers-Saints. At least in the general conscience of the NFL fan. I don't know what Coldheart was saying, Kerry, if you had a different opinion heading into last year's playoffs. But
Packers and the Saints, yeah.
No, I had the Packers winning it all, man. They were the best team in football last year. I was shocked they had a no-show performance against the Giants. It really was.
I mean, Green Bay was 15-1, and the Saints were 13-3. Now, granted, the Niners were also 13-3, but it seemed like a collision course, and it didn't happen.
That's what I'm saying, man. You never know. We all think it's going to happen. So usually, when everyone expects something, something screws it all up, which is what makes the NFL so exciting.
I just really can't see any team knocking off the Broncos or New England, especially since they both have home games.
You can't see what, I'm sorry?
I can't see any of these wild card teams knocking off Denver or New England, considering they're playing at home.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, neither can I. But you never know.
I've been bashing the Ravens.
You know, the Patriots have vulnerabilities, right? We both worried about that defense. Can Houston come in there in a rematch and beat the Patriots? Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't bet on it. But you know, stranger things have happened, guys.
Yeah, Bill, you never know. Again, stranger things happen, like Harry said. Texans and Ravens, we've been bashing them all year, overrated.
Yep.
If they play their best game, they're certainly capable of winning a road game, even against the Patriots. But again, those are teams trending down, and I think we all agree the Bengals and Colts are, you know, if they get one win, that'll be it for them. So the NFC is going to be where it's wide open, especially when you have Seattle as a 5 seed, red hot Seattle as a 5 seed. So, Kerry, we have plenty of time to talk about this. Did you make your Super Bowl prediction yet, your amended Super Bowl prediction, or are you waiting to do that later?
Yeah, I did. I just did it. I got Denver beating Seattle in the Super Bowl. Recanting my original pick of Houston over San Francisco. Based on what I've seen up to this point, I think the two best teams, and the teams, the two hottest teams, by the way, are Seattle and Denver. That's what I got.
There you go. What do you think, Bill?
I like that prediction. I like it. I think it's going to be Falcons versus Broncos or the Patriots. I'm not ready to make a decision yet. I'm holding out on the decision. We have two shows next week. We have plenty of time to make more predictions. But I do like Kerry's pick of Broncos in Seattle. I like that.
I think that'd be fun. I've been riding the Seattle bandwagon all year, guys.
Yeah, totally.
And I just think I got a little something special going on there.
Bill, you just said that Seattle was going to lose to Atlanta. You were confident in that.
I am.
But you like Kerry's pick of Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like his pick. I would like to see Seattle win. But I don't think a rookie quarterback will be able to pull off an upset in Atlanta. Matt Ryan is going to be the one to say, you know what, enough with this, I can't win in the playoff nonsense. Here we go. Here's my run. I think that's going to happen this year.
I don't know, man. I might be siding with Kerry on that one. I think Seattle's the wrong team for the Falcons to play.
The good news is we'll know by next Saturday or next Sunday.
All right, yeah, they got to take care of business this week first.
Right.
Should be a good weekend, though, gentlemen.
Yes, and always a pleasure talking to you, Kerry, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Like you said, it's going to be a good weekend of football. I'm glad that we get 2 days of action, 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday. Hope you have fun watching it, and thanks for stopping by. And again, you can always listen to Kerry's own show, 2 hours of nonstop stats right here on Patriots.com Radio, the Cold Hard Football Fact Show, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, Kerry, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you every weekend.
We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
Bill, you got to get your predictions in order here, buddy.
Falcons-Patriots.
Falcons-Patriots.
Yep. Lock it in.
All right.
What do you got?
What? I actually looked through my notes, Bill, and I actually have the notes from our first show. Uh-huh. We made our predictions. Or I made my predictions. I didn't write yours down. And I actually had Packers, Patriots.
And that's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with. Packers, Patriots in the Dome in what will be a classic shootout. What do you think about that?
I like that.
I
think it's all about the quarterbacks in the playoffs. And I'm going to go with the experience. I'm going to go with the veteran leadership of Matt Ryan over, assuming the Seattle Seahawks win this weekend, over a rookie-led team with Russell Wilson. That's just the way I roll.
Let's one more thing before we go to break here.
Yeah.
Okay? Karma. Okay? We've talked all season long about how Luck, Andrew Luck, is destined to play Peyton Manning.
Right.
That could happen, depending on if they – obviously, they have to win. That could happen, depending, you know, if the Texans win. Right? Texans go to Foxborough. And if our prediction holds true – right, the amended prediction that we just made, the Colts upset the Ravens, they go to Mile High. So you'd get that game, right? That kind of karma game, the game that's meant to be, right? Peyton Manning against his old team. The other one that we all want to see is the Seattle Packers rematch.
You know, yeah, I want to see that badly.
Wouldn't that be just one unbelievable backstory if Packers got to win this week, got to beat the Niners, And then Seattle would have to beat the Skins and beat the Falcons. Certainly possible, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd have – it would be a different venue. It would be in Lambeau, but you'd have the rematch of the replacement ref game. I'd love to see that.
It's funny. 2 weeks ago, we were on the show saying that the Patriots have no shot at a bye because the Texans and the Broncos are just going to roll through the rest of the final two games. Meanwhile, the Texans, we know, lost the last two games. Patriots get the bye. And here we are about to head into wildcard weekend, and we aren't even giving the Texans a shot at making the AFC Championship.
Nope.
No shot.
It's crazy. Not winning, not getting the Super Bowl. Not getting the Super Bowl.
It's crazy. They're 15-1.
That might be. So they have to win it all, though. It's 15-1 to win it all, not to get there. They have to win it all.
Right.
Yeah, they're
crazy,
not playing
crazy. And I love, yeah, that's why you got to love the NFL. Anything can happen. 2 weeks totally changes our opinions. All right, what do you say we take a quick break? When we return, we'll recap some of the coaching chaos from the last few days. You know, a lot of teams out there, they may not make the playoffs, so they're looking for new head coaches, and a lot of head coaches are looking for new jobs. That's all coming up next. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Final segment of the show. We've kept our friend Olivier on hold long enough. The Ace Ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. If you want to discuss some of the coaching changes around the NFL, we'll do that in just a bit. But first, we're going to say what's up to our friend Olivier. Hey, man, what's going on? Thanks for holding on for so long.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. It's a pleasure
talking to you. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Thank you. By the way, I was listening to the analysis, Karen and yourself. I think you guys are correct in your predictions in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think, all of our predictions were different.
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about our first round, our wild card predictions, or our potential Super Bowl predictions?
I don't know about the Super Bowl prediction because you never know what's going to happen. I think, you know, I always like to go step by step, like first weekend, then second weekend. I'd love to see Peyton Manning playing the Colts. I think it's what the NFL wants. I think it would be great for the ratings. Mm. And I'm not really sure if, you know, there might be some referee intervention in the whole thing for this to happen. But if the Patriots are lucky to actually go into the championship, and I'm not sure if they will be able to do it because at the end of the day, you know, the team is hurt. The team is banged up like any other team. So
yeah.
I'm not part of the Patriots nation that thinks that just because we have a bye, all of a sudden, you know, we forget our past performances, and therefore we should be playing Manning in the championship, at least the AFC championship. I think it's going to be difficult for the Pats. And even if they go to Denver, you know, anything is possible, but I think it's difficult to win in Mile High. And I think that they're going to have to really play their best to be able to contain Manning. Because I think that the offense, the Patriots offense, is hurt. And it's not shooting on all cylinders. And if it's a shootout, in those conditions, I don't believe that, unfortunately, the Pats can actually, you know, hang tough with Manning.
Well, let's put you on the spot, all right?
Yes.
Patriots only. What is your official pre-playoff Patriots prediction? How far are they going to go here?
I think that theoretically, they should get to the AFC Championship.
All right. So they'll beat, the Texans and get to then have to go to Mile High to play Peyton Manning.
Yeah, they should. However, I would not discount whatsoever the victor I guess it's the Colts versus Baltimore. I think if Baltimore wins, do they come to New England or not? No, they don't.
The Texans are playing the Patriots if they win.
Yeah, but if Baltimore and the Bengals both win, then Baltimore
Patriots
would come to
play
New England.
Baltimore, right?
Yeah. I think that if the Texans come back in Foxborough and if it's really bad weather and so forth, it's going to be very challenging and difficult for them. And it's what happens anytime you play in the dome. and then, you know, you play in a good weather and so forth. So I think the Pats should be able to win. But again, you know, the team hasn't really been very consistent in the month of December, which is concerning and which is very unusual for the Pats.
But the Pats got a gift. They got the Texans tanking and handing over a bye week, and you could argue that no team needed that bye week more than the Pats because of what you said.
I agree, Todd, but on the other hand, if the Texans regain their confidence, and they would if they win, obviously, then, you know, hopefully they can come back with a vengeance and come back to Foxborough. But I think that the weather conditions are not going to be advantageous to the Texans as a result.
I'll tell you what, Olivier. We can talk about weather conditions for two Sundays from now, all on next week's show. Let's see if the Texans win first.
I agree.
Before we start talking about the weather conditions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Listen, we got to let you go early today because we got to get to these coaching
changes. No problem. The reason I was calling, thanks for taking my call, is to wish you guys and your family a happy new year. And
we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
To share 2012 and you, and I look forward to do the same thing in 2013.
Awesome. Thanks, Olivier.
Thank you.
You're the man, Olivier.
Happy new year.
He's always checking in, Bill.
He wants to make sure that we're doing all right.
I tried to put him on the spot there. He didn't really give me a full prediction.
He was dancing around a little bit.
I think he's worried about a potential battle in Denver.
Listen, we can't start talking about next Sunday's, not even this Sunday, next Sunday's weather in New England. I mean, let's get a little realistic here, right?
Yeah, we got a couple shows next week to talk all about it.
All right, well, for the most part of this show, we've been focusing on the teams who made the playoffs. What do you say we take a look at some of the teams that didn't make the playoffs or on the opposite side of the spectrum? Teams didn't make the playoffs are now, a lot of them, nine of them out there, or seven of them, looking for either new head coaches or NFL GMs. Black Monday, Todd, was chaotic for us.
Very chaotic for the two of us that, you know, have to update websites with all this information.
Yeah.
It was funny. Last week you predicted that North Turner would be the first to get the axe, but he wasn't because they're on the West Coast.
That's right.
We forgot to factor that in. By the time everyone woke up in San Diego, like six other coaches had been fired already.
Yeah.
So North, you know, he didn't get the honor of being the first one to get the axe.
But the Chargers did fire North Turner and their GM, A.J. Smith. The Chargers finished 7-9 this year, so they're looking for a new head coach. The Arizona Cardinals fired head coach Ken Wisenhunt. They finished 5-11, despite starting off, 4-0?
Yep.
They started off 4-0, and they finished 5-11. That's terrible. No wonder why he got fired.
Yep. Nope, no quarterback.
The Eagles parted ways with Andy Reid. Philadelphia finished 4-12. We kind of saw that coming.
Yep.
Kansas City Chiefs fired Romeo Crennel. Chiefs
no-brainer.
With the worst record in the league, 2-14.
No-brainer. Yep.
All right. Now, this one is a little bit of a shocker to me. Chicago Bears fired Lovie Smith despite finishing 10-6.
Yeah. Of all these coaching hires, I mean, the other two, the Browns, you know, fired Shermer, which is no surprise. And is that it? We've missed one.
Bills fired Chan Gailey.
Yeah. So the other six we saw all those coming.
Right.
The Lovie Smith one was kind of 50-50. I mean, he hasn't done much recently in the playoffs.
He hasn't.
And the thing is, if you're going to fire your coach, you better have a plan.
Right.
And if you've been following the rumors and all the hot names, if you're into all that hot name stuff, which we're going to get into right now, have you noticed, Bill, that, like, the Chargers and the Bears haven't really been talked about here as far as filling their vacancies?
It seems like they don't have any plan.
Well, they're just keeping everything under wraps, or the beat writers for those two teams just can't seem to scrounge up any information. All that we're hearing about, let's just get right into it right now, right? We're hearing a lot about the hot names from college, obviously, are Chip Kelly from Oregon.
Right.
And Bill O'Brien from Penn State.
Uh-huh.
And a little dark horse guy, Doug Marrone from Syracuse.
So we have my school, Syracuse, Doug Marrone, the head coach there, and then your school, Penn State, who Patriot fans are all familiar with, Bill O'Brien.
Yep, and then the school that you and I both love to watch, who's playing tonight in the Fiesta Bowl, Oregon's Chip Kelly, who runs a high-flying offensive attack. And it seems like Chip Kelly's gone, okay? He's going to – I mean, if you believe in all the tweets and all the rumors and everything, he's got interviews lined up right after the game tonight. A lot of teams have flown out to Phoenix to interview him. So it looks like Chip Kelly's gone. And it looks like right now, again, if you're believing all the information, and there's a lot of misinformation out there intentionally, right?
Yeah, true.
But right now, it looks like the Browns and Eagles, as we talk here at 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, the Browns and Eagles might be in a little bit of a bidding war, perhaps, for Chip Kelly.
Now, can either of the quarterbacks, Brandon Whedon or Nick Foles, run a Chip Kelly-type offense?
No.
Not at all, not even close.
Well, here's the thing. Chip Kelly's he's a very smart guy, and right. He knows this. And he can't bring the exact offense that he has in Oregon over.
Right.
He's an innovator. I mean, Bill Belichick's actually tried to pick his brain, Chip Kelly's brain, in the offseason to glean a few things from his offense. So I think he's going to have to adapt the offense to the NFL. I mean, no quarterback could stand up a full season in his offense. They're going to take too many hits and all that. So but he's an innovator, and that's kind of what you're getting in Chip Kelly. He's a football guy. He's kind of a genius when it comes to offenses. So he's going to have to adapt it to the NFL game. But what's interesting here with the Eagles and Browns is that the Joe Banner, who had been with the Eagles forever during their run, is now the kind of head of heading up the Browns. So Jeff Lurie and Joe Banner, who were schoolmate friends back in the day, are going to be vying potentially for one head coach, which is very intriguing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, college coaches don't have the greatest track record jumping into the NFL.
No,
so it's kind of interesting that that's, again, this is all rumors and whatnot. That's all we have to go off of right now. They're kind of both going for Chip Kelly. Bill O'Brien, his name's been thrown into that mix as well. He's been very quiet since the end of the Penn State season, and there's been rumors that he wasn't told the whole story when he was hired at Penn State as to what he should be expecting with regards to the possible sanctions that they wound up getting.
Right.
So that's kind of the backstory there. Who knows what to believe. But he's been really quiet, and that leads me to believe that he's definitely entertaining some of these offers. We'll see if he goes through and tries to do the interviews. But, I mean, when you're a college coach, Bill, and this is prime recruiting season, right, you don't want these recruits to think you're leaving. You want to get out in front of the media and tell them that you're staying, if you're staying.
Right.
Right? You don't want these recruits to think that, well, why isn't he talking? So the longer that Bill O'Brien stays quiet, the worse off it is for the recruiting at Penn State. Now, he might wind up staying there. Who knows? But there's definitely a lot of buzz around O'Brien right now.
And then how about some Andy Reid was fired from the Eagles. What do you say about him possibly signing with the Kansas City Chiefs as soon as tonight, possibly?
Right now, it sounds like that is, you know, the hottest rumor of the day. And again, if you're listening to this live, it's definitely the hottest rumor. I think that the intrigue there is the general manager.
Right.
Okay. Scott Pioli's still there technically, even though they cleaned house with almost everybody else. And Andy Reid might want to bring Tom Heckert, his old GM in Philadelphia from a few years ago, into the mix. So I think that might be a negotiating point. Again, if you're listening to this on Friday, this might all be moot. He might already be hired, Andy Reid.
Right.
It seems like it's going to happen. Interesting with Andy Reid going to Kansas City, if that happens, because they have the number one pick overall.
Yeah.
Right? When he took over in Philly, they had the number two pick overall, and they picked Donovan McNabb. So
yeah.
The other thing, if you're Andy Reid, and think about this, Bill. When he came to the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFC East was up on a downward cycle.
Big time.
Think about the AFC West right now. Okay, you have the Broncos, but how many years are Peyton Manning going to be around?
Right.
The rest of that division is a train wreck.
Oh, terrible.
So he's actually, if you want to rebuild a program, do it in a division where you have a chance. It's going to take him a year or two. In Philly, they were terrible the first year. You might remember he had Doug Peterson as his starting quarterback while they kind of tutored McNabb along that first season.
Right.
Expect him to do something similar here. If you want an outrageous prediction, what if he brings McNabb with him for a year out of retirement?
God.
Wouldn't that be something? But it's an interesting move. It's an interesting move if it happens. And it's not a terrible fit, quite honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that would be a great fit. And I would love the potential. Actually, you brought it up to my attention. The potential of Jamal Charles running the Andy Reid type offense, that would do wonders for his fantasy football potential.
If you're a fantasy guy, yeah. I mean, think of Brian Westbrook. Think of LeSean McCoy.
Right.
Andy Reid gets a lot of grief for not running the ball enough, but he throws it to those running backs all the time.
Yeah.
Jamal Charles is a very intriguing piece. He's still a young guy. He came off the injury. He looked pretty good this year.
Yep.
You know, they got some pieces there, but he'd have to rebuild it. But, again, I think that division is so bad. And Kerry actually kind of brought this up if you listened. He said that the Broncos have only beaten two quality teams all year.
Well, yeah, why is that?
Division's terrible.
Yeah, they're awful. They're terrible.
That's so, 6 wins.
Yeah, and the Broncos, of course, you know, Andy Reid would have to compete with the Broncos. But again, how many more years is Peyton Manning going to be there? 2-3 more years?
Right, right.
So by the time that he has the Chiefs rolling, assuming Andy Reid can turn them into, you know, a quality team, the Broncos will probably be near the end of the Manning regime.
A couple other rumors, and they're really just rumors right now. Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator from the Steelers, is getting interest from his the Arizona Cardinals, a team he was formerly the offensive coordinator of. Helped Kurt Warner and Cheryl crew bring him to the Super Bowl. And then Lovie Smith to the Bills, and that's pretty much just a rumor at this point, too.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these jobs are not real attractive. I mean,
yeah.
Cardinals, that's where coaches go to die, right?
I think so.
You know, initially, Andy Reid was kind
of... If you want to crown them, then crown their ass!
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see how all this shakes out. And, you know, it's a little bit of a – the timing of all this is always very interesting to me, Bill, because you have these college coaches that are trying to get these bowl games out of the way. Right.
Some, now some they of get them all this NFL pressure.
Yeah, and then you've got the whole deal where you can't talk to – and, Kevin, maybe you can chime in on this, but you can't talk to –
You have to request permission.
Right. You have to request permission. But, yeah. Like, last week the teams that were on bye, like the – Patriots, you could, in the like McCoy, the offensive coordinator for the Denver, like you could talk to him last week, but then you can't talk to him again until he's eliminated, his team's
right.
eliminated.
Crazy.
There's all sorts of crazy rules and stuff. Kevin, I had a question for you if you're out there, I mean, listening to our show here, Mr. Producer.
I am.
You know, Bill O'Brien spent some time in New England, and he's kind of a, you know, kind of a hot name, at least here at the moment.
Yep.
What, you know, what's your take on him being a head coach in the NFL?
No, I'd be high on it personally, and I think if you talk to most of the coaches definitely in this locker room and also media members around here, they'd give him a ringing endorsement. Here's a guy, he's 43, so he's not that old, and he still definitely looks young. I mean, not as young as Josh McDaniels, but he's been coaching for 20 years. Had, I think, 4, if not 5 seasons with us.
Yeah.
Is now a head coach at Penn State, obviously, and look what he did with that program this year. I mean, I personally, and Todd can speak to this more than me because Todd's the college football geek, but, you know, with all the talent that left there and all the sanctions they had placed on him, I thought there was no way in heck they'd go, you know, anywhere near 500 this year, and they went 8-4. So I think that's a testament to him rallying those kids, and, you know, it's a testament to his at least his leadership, if not his coaching.
Right.
But I think that, you know, there are definitely worse candidates that you could pull from the college ranks. And, you know, any guy that's been in coaching for 20 years that has already been, you know, a head coordinator at the NFL level and now a head coach at the college level, I think that makes him a pretty viable candidate.
Yeah,
well,
totally agree.
If you're Bill O'Brien, you know, is your stock going to be any higher than it is right now?
Right.
You know?
We actually have a caller. Alex from Massachusetts is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get his thoughts about this coaching change situation. What's going on, Alex? Thanks for calling into Football Nation.
Hey, guys. How are you? Todd, Bill.
Great.
Doing great.
How are you?
Good. Just a quick point. You know, this has been kind of formulating in my head over the past week or so as I've been thinking about a lot of these coaching changes. And you guys actually brought up Lovie Smith and, you know, why was he fired from the Bears? They won 10 games. But, of course, they started the season 7-1 and then tanked to the finish, and he was also there for 9 seasons. But, you know, I've been thinking, and I'm being purposely hyperbolic here, but knowing where the NFL is going, knowing that it's an offensive-oriented league, especially in the regular season, and it's almost as simple as if you have an elite quarterback, have an elite passing game, you're in the playoffs. If you don't, and you're out of the playoffs. Almost as simple as that. My question is, why in the world would a team even entertain the idea of hiring a defensive-minded coach in today's NFL? Like, I hear Buffalo is interviewing Lovie Smith or thinking about it, and at first they go, oh, you know, that's a decent fit. Bills defense underachieved, and they said, whoa, wait a minute, Alex. Lovie Smith had miserable offenses in Chicago, and they try, and that's why he was fired, too. The Bears' offense, the passing game, was just never up to par for the modern NFL, and the Jets are facing a similar thing with Rex Ryan. So knowing where the league is going, I wonder, why would you ever hire a head coach who is not an offensive-minded guy? To me, it just totally goes in the opposite direction of where the league is right now.
Alex, that's a pretty interesting point, but look at what the Colts did last year. They drafted Andrew Luck, quarterback, with the first overall pick, and they hired
a defensive-minded coach with
Chuck Pagano. Now, what they did, which was really smart, they brought in an offensive-minded offensive coordinator. Bruce Arians, who did a fantastic job this year.
Right.
And that's why he's gaining some interest from around the league. So just because you hire a defensive-minded head coach doesn't mean that you can't surround him with offensive geniuses.
Right. Exactly. I know you guys are running out of time, so make this quick. But that's the thing. I guess what I should – if you have to sign – if you are going to bring in a defensive-minded guy – like Lovie Smith, you also have to bring in that assistant head coach, that, you know, head coach 1A, kind of like what the Bears did with Mike Martz a couple years ago, right? You know, Lovie, you got the defense, the overall team persona, and Martz, you got the offense. Didn't really work out there, and North Turner's the guy on the market who might, you know, be that offensive guru slash assistant head coach. So if you're going to bring in a defensive-minded guy, you also have to bring that offensive guru, because as you guys know, just unfortunately, I hate to say it, defense doesn't win in this league anymore. In the regular season. So, all right, I know you're running out of time, but thanks for taking the call.
No problem, Alex. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, that is a good point, Todd, but I think just the Colts are a perfect example. They drafted a quarterback first overall with a defensive-minded head coach.
Here's the deal. Are there 32 great offensive minds even out there right now? Like, there's almost not enough to go around, right? And then you get the whole, like, old boy network, where they, you know, these coaches like Lovie Smith or whoever, for years and years, there were just so many guys that would just make the rounds, just get hired and rehired and rehired, retreads, right? It just seems like there aren't 32 offensive geniuses out there, which is why I think they're dipping potentially into the college ranks.
Right. You know, Chip Kelly. Exactly.
Chip Kelly. Bill O'Brien. Again, look what he did at Penn State with a anemic offense. He made the quarterback there, Matt McGloin, who was just awful in the years prior, he made him look like Tom Brady to an extent. So it's very intriguing. But I do agree with Alex's premise that this is an offensive league. Look at the Super Bowl champions, Bill. When's the last, you know, defensive power game type, you know, team to win the Super Bowl? You have to go back to what? The Ravens in 2001?
And their head coach, why am I blanking on his name right now? Brian Billick. He was an offensive guy, wasn't he?
Yes.
Brian Billick was an offensive guy. Marvin Lewis was the defensive guy, and now he's with the Bengals.
Yep.
I mean, you know, just look back at the Super Bowl champions. Giants, Packers, Saints, Steelers, Giants, Colts, Steelers, Patriots, Buccaneers. They all had teams that could put the ball in, you know.
But we all know this league is about the quarterback. We all know that. That's stating the obvious at this point. But that, just because it's all about the quarterback, doesn't mean you can't have a defensive-minded head coach to lead you to a Super Bowl.
I agree, but if I'm a Bills fan, I'm not excited at all.
What is Bill Belichick's specialty?
Defense.
Okay. And the Patriots have been in how many Super Bowls the last 10 years?
Five. Yeah.
Right.
Case closed.
He's been in half of the Super Bowls in the last 10 years, and he's a defensive-minded coach.
I agree with you.
He's still far more hands-on, you know, with the defense.
Than any other coach in the league, probably.
Absolutely.
Of course. But still, his specialty, growing, you know, maturing in the league over the years, when he started his first coaching job, he was always on the defensive side of the ball.
You see him down on one knee with the squeegee board, you know, way more times than you'd ever see him, you know, in the offensive huddle on the sideline.
Right, exactly.
In fact, there's a lot of times where the cameras will catch him. And, you know, so I'm not speaking out of turn here, because I'm kind of running around down there myself during our home games. But, you know, you'll see him when we have the ball and, you know, we're marching down the field and he's got his back turned to what we're doing on offense, trying to work on the defense.
Yeah.
And most of the time that's in a situation where, you know, you look up at the scoreboard and they've already hung 30 on us or something like that.
Brilliant people, smart people, surround themselves with other smart and brilliant people.
Yep.
Do you really think Henry Ford knew how to make a car?
That's why you guys brought me onto the program this year. Huh?
Exactly, Kevin.
Good
exactly.
stuff.
But I'm serious. Do you think Henry Ford knew how to make a car?
Probably not.
The engine and all that stuff, putting the tires together? No.
He hired a bunch
of scientists.
He created the assembly line.
Exactly. So you don't have to be the end-all, be-all. Just because it's an offensive-minded league, you don't have to hire an offensive-minded
coach.
I'm
with you, Bill. I'm with you.
I agree with all that. However, Lovie Smith was not able to surround himself with offensive geniuses in Chicago.
They tried with Mike Martz.
Yeah, he had Martz, yeah.
But he made bad decision.
Martz was the architect behind the greatest show on turf, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Those Rams,
you know, I think coaches get such a ridiculous amount of blame in this league. No one wants to blame Jay Cutler for poorly running Mike Martz's system.
And in one of those,
how about the fact that they had Devin Hester as their number one wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, this year
they had the worst offensive line in football.
This year they finally had some legit
weapons. No one brings that up.
They
just say the Mike Martz experiment failed in Chicago. Well, did it really, or did the players just suck?
It would have been interesting. He wasn't there this year, right?
No.
It would have been interesting. Yeah, it would have been interesting to see him with a guy like Brandon Marshall. Could have had some fun with
instead of Johnny Knox and Devin Hester
and
Earl Bennett.
But
and Devin
also, and also, you know, and this might be
like,
just,
are you kidding me?
This might be trying to bail Levy out a little bit. In one of the years where it looked like they were going to make a run, didn't Cutler get knocked out and they had, like, Caleb Haney in a playoff game?
That was last year.
So, like, yeah, that wasn't even
that was
really a fair, you know, that's just kind of a – that's like the Texans last year. They, you know, you have a team that looks like it's capable of making a run, and I think the Bears were even at home for that playoff game. And just couldn't get out of it with Caleb Haney.
Out of all the coaches that got fired, Lovie Smith is the one that gets brought up. He was 10-6 this year.
Yeah.
They were a Vikings loss from making the playoffs.
Exactly.
Like, give me a break. Who cares if he's a defensive-minded head coach?
Yeah.
They were 10-6 in the NFL. You know how hard that is?
It is hard. Ask the Browns.
I agree with all this. I mean, it's tough to fire your coach. It's one thing to fire Andy Reid after 14 years.
Yeah,
right. Know? Time when for a change.
It's time for a change. I mean, it's been forever, and the team just was awful this year.
If the Eagles finished 10-6 this year, would Andy Reid still have a job with
Philadelphia? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
No doubt about it.
Right. And we all knew at the start of the season that Andy Reid would be fired this year. But you know what? If they were 10-6 or they finished with maybe a 9-7 team, I bet Reid would still be around.
Well, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, said they had to be better than 8-8 because they were 8-8 last year. He said he came out and said it in August. They better be better than 8-8.
There you go.
It wasn't, so yeah. But again, you know, if you're a Bills fan, again, all this being said, are you excited if they hire Lovie Smith?
No. But then again, if you're a Browns or an Eagles fan, do you get really excited about Chip Kelly? Yes, right? Meanwhile, Lovie Smith is one with the NFL track record.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this.
Maybe the fans are getting excited for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the sexy new thing, right? Chip Kelly.
Exactly.
I mean, Chip Kelly's got a high bust factor, in my opinion. High bust factor.
I agree.
But he's unknown. He's intriguing. He's something new. He's something different, you know?
Right.
And as, you know, if I'm a fan of one of these teams that needs a coach – I'd almost rather have the unknown with the high upside, high bust potential than I would a retread.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? So.
All right, what do you say we recap the show? Our winners for this weekend, Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, we think the Packers beat the Vikings.
Yes.
We think the Seahawks beat the Redskins.
Yes.
We think the Texans beat the Bengals.
Not super confident, but yes.
Okay. And we think the Ravens beat the Colts, but since I wanted an upset, I made everyone change their pick, and the Colts are going to win.
Yeah, I think the two AFC games are a little more toss-ups than the NFC ones this weekend.
We're not giving the Redskins any credit. They're playing at home, 3-point underdog at home. I'm surprised. No luck.
That's a franchise built that's happy to be there. They've got a bright future. If they lose this week, all is not lost.
All right, I want to thank everyone for listening to Football Nation. Don't forget to check us out on your, the Patriots.com mobile app, Kevin?
Yep.
Yeah, you can listen to the podcast. You don't have to listen to this show live.
Yeah, you can listen to us live right from your iPhone, or you can download the podcast.
Very nice. Or we'll be back next Tuesday, 4 to 6, and next Thursday we'll have our wild card weekend recap and our NFL divisional playoff preview. Thanks again for listening to Football Nation. Enjoy wild card weekend, everybody. Get through this lonesome day. Lonesome day. Hills brewing, dark suns on the rise. Every football fan has a voice at footballnation.com.